Yo, what it do? It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal_Brown if you're looking for me on social media.
And I am Spike Lou on all the same social sites. Catch me out in these tweet streets on IG if you're lucky.
Absolutely, man. What's popping, man? How you holding in?
I mean, it's a cool. Things are a little lighter than the last 2 weeks, you know. So
are
I
won't they?
Say. Yeah, I mean, fairly. I mean, comparatively to everything that's been going
true.
On. Corona cases up in these streets as we knew they would be, but we holding on out here, man. How you holding up?
Man, I can't complain, man. Listen, taking advantage of the things that they putting out here for us. There's some shit out here for us.
Yeah, man, like it can help you get your foot back on the ground and get going if you need to. There's a lot of good content out here as always to consume, so I'm happy about that. And we're able to still record and get the people what they want, man. Some On Deck TV podcast, so what we got to be mad about?
Absolutely, man. What we got going on today?
Man, this is a good one, a really good one, I would say. We're talking about this week, man. BET announces the 2020 BET Award nominees. We'll go over those. We'll also let you, we'll let you know who's in and who's out. Gucci Mane, he calls Atlantic Records polite, quote unquote, racist. I wonder what that means. And Eminem, he drops his GOAT list. But first, Lil Baby dropped a new video, Bigger Picture. Man, I hope you guys got to see that. A very dope visual. He got in his social commentary bag. Tell me, are you here for an artist like Lil Baby, who doesn't have a pass of social commentary and speaking on things, getting into that social commentary bag with this brand new video?
I am. And number one, the song is dope. The song is super dope. I give it to him. I feel it because it's an honest take on what's going on from his perspective. Everybody is in their social commentary bag right now, if we being honest. Like, this is too big of a deal to ignore. So you've got businesses. You turn on the Madden, and they got the Black Lives Matter. You turn on the 2K, they got the T-shirts on. Like, I've gotten emails constantly from companies of, we support this and we're in favor of this, and you see it on Twitter. But the difference between Lil Baby and some of these companies that are kind of giving these statements and whatnot is that it doesn't seem contrived. His song did not seem forced. It didn't seem like someone made him do that and against his will, and he just threw some shit together. It was authentic. It was genuine. And when other people and some of these businesses come off like pandering, I didn't get that from him. So yes, I am here for it, man. I don't need Lil Baby to drop a whole Martin Luther King album, but this song let us know that he knows what's going on. He's aware and he's coming from his perspective, and the people that he represent understand what's going on too. I'm here for it. That shit was dope. What you think?
I agree with you. I think it was dope. It's always cool when you're able to switch your lane, get in a different pocket. And it seemed authentic. Like you said, I want to see him be able to speak to these things, because he's a young man. He was not too long ago out here in these Atlanta streets and going through things that people not as fortunate as him go through. So it was cool to see him on the bike with the T-shirts, with his homies out there just in the midst of it. I think the visual dropping at the same time as the song, that was a good look. I don't know if you receive it the same way if you didn't get to see the visual with that. Did you watch the video first, or did you just listen to the audio?
I listened to the song first, but I had been aware of the picture, which is, to be honest, it's a good picture of him on the bike.
It's your fire.
In the streets. Like the picture, it captures a nice moment in time. It didn't come off like a photo op. It didn't come off like, let's go downtown real quick, get this picture for this single. Like, I didn't get that vibe. So that's really hard to pull off. You have to be super authentic for that to work, because a lot of people could do that and look like, man, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You pulled up, took a photo, and dipped. But I didn't get that from him, though. So, but I need to watch the video. I actually haven't seen the video.
I think the video added a lot to it for me. I ain't gonna lie, if I was just riding in the whip and this Lil Baby song came on, I would be surprised if I didn't see the video coming with it. Not to say that it's not as good or takes anything away from it, but it did add to it. It was a great visual. To be in this pocket on the song, to have his social commentary going on, I like rappers that are aware. I think it adds to it, gives them a layer when they can talk about what's going on, and not, it ain't got to be in every bar. They ain't got to be KRS-One or Chuck D. I'm not expecting that from Lil Baby. Right. But like, being able to cut the switch on and being like, hey, I see what's going on too. Not saying I've never experienced racism. So yeah. That's cool for him. I think it's going to mainly the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway, I think is going to increase his footprint. His persona is going to be larger. People maybe that didn't know LaBaby, even though he has one of the better albums of the year so far and probably one of the highest selling ones, people that didn't know him are going to get on this bandwagon. It's going to be like a cool thing to like LaBaby now. Because of this stance that he's taken, when people are looking for artists, they're looking for celebrities to come out and say something. And I think that he chose a very comfortable way to say it, even though it was a different lane. But I'm here for it. I'm here for him being able to do this and this growth from him as an artist to that first time that we seen him on Breakfast Club. He was couldn't even pull the mic up to his face.
Yeah,
he in his bag, in his lane. He's arguably one of the hottest rappers in the game. I called this, by the way, from the first time that we seen him. I definitely said this, but I think that he's living up to what people want to see in like the new age, brand new rap star, the new generation.
Yeah, no, he's waving a flag right now. Leader of the new school, without question. That video has 7.5 million views right now. Is that on par with where it need to be? I feel like that's a decent number.
Yeah, I feel like that's cool. Like yeah. I said, I think people still discover a little baby. And then as this pandemic continues to grow and we continue to fight these social issues, that number is going to grow. I think you'll start seeing those images from the audio, the images from the video in different places.
I think Kyrie needs to take a cue from Lil Baby on how to speak on the social issues, man. Just pick your right, a comfortable forum that you're comfortable in.
Kyrie Irving plays basketball, man. If he can affect his message by saying, I'm not playing basketball, then hey, that's all he needs to do. I don't expect a symposium for him to write down anything and have anything going. Just tell me you ain't playing basketball and see what you can change. And he got it changed. Shout out to Kyrie, man.
Shout out to Avery Bradley, man.
Silent killer, man. What we got next?
Man, the BET Awards, man, the 20th annual BET Awards are still on schedule. They're not fucking with the pandemic at all. They don't give a shit.
So they doing this virtual? Have they said?
Man, they haven't said, but Sunday, June 28th, something is popping off. And the nominees were just announced. Leading the nominations is Drake with 6, followed by Roddy Ricch and Meg Thee Stallion with 5. Now, looking at the list, are there any surprises or outcomes that you want to see?
Surprises, I would say, is that they left Doja Cat on here for Best Female Hip Hop Artist. You would think
she dope, though.
They removed that. But I just don't see her stepping foot in there, near there, taking no kind of backlash from that. So she in hiding. Also, I was surprised that Benny Boom was still on the Director of the Year ballot. It's impossible. Put me on if there's still new Benny Boom videos out there. And that was pretty much it for me. Like, the music, there was no surprises. That was my biggest question I had this for you. Why is No Guidance still on here?
It's from last year.
Man, it seemed like that song came out 2 years ago. So much has happened. It seemed like this song is 2 years ago.
That's a fact.
Maybe we got a lot of Drake and Chris Brown since then, but that was my biggest surprise. They put the No Guidance in all in that category. I think it has 2 nominations.
Man, mostly these award nominees are usually split right down the middle of what they got right and what they got wrong. Mm-hmm. What they got right on here was having Griselda nominated for Best Group. Keep your ear to the street, BET. Whoever said, hey, Griselda need to be on here for Best Group, thank you. We appreciate that. We know BET like to mail it in. Mm-hmm. You look at some of the female artist categories, Beyonce be in it, Trina be in it. It be like, what? Like, why do y'all have these people in here and they ain't even putting nothing out, dude? So somebody got their ear to the streets. Pop Smoke being nominated for Best New Artist. I thought that was very respectable. And the only thing they really just got wrong, the album of the year category is nuts. I'm talking about what the fuck. Album of the year, listen to the albums on album of the year. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I Love You, Lizzo. Mm-hmm. Homecoming, the live album, Beyonce. What? I Used to Love Her, shout out to her. Fever, Meg Thee Stallion. Kirk
DaBaby.
And Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, Roddy Ricch. Where's Born to Rap? Where's Wale album? Where's the Dreamville album? Like, what? Man, why is Kirk on here? DaBaby, my boy, but come on,
Wale not going to get no nominations for album of the year. Why these, not? You got to put the big names in. This is BET's biggest show. So this is probably a money maker. You don't want Dreamville. Like, you need a face. You
People know
need
Cole.
this. Yeah, but he's not coming. One. So,
That's probably true.
he's not gonna be there. But okay, so of the people there, Lizzo, Megan Thee Stallion, Beyonce, her's probably gonna perform. DaBaby's gonna perform probably, and Roddy Ricch is gonna win. I mean,
Yeah.
first of all, who do you have? Who you have winning that?
Out of those names, probably Roddy Ricch.
And you would take out who and put what in?
I would take all of them out and replace them with Born to Rap, Game, Dreamville, a compilation, and Wale Wow, That's Crazy. Shout out to her though. I understand they're mixing it up. It's not just hip hop. I get it. Her and Lizzo, y'all can keep that. But that Fever, Megan Thee Stallion, that's not album of the year. That's not even DaBaby. That Kirk wasn't even his best album of last year.
It
So
was.
come
Who you
on.
got for the best male R&B slash pop artist? Anderson .Paak, Chris Brown, Jacquees, Khalid, The Weeknd, or Usher?
Come on, Usher.
Weeknd wins it.
Easy, and Weeknd album was banging too, by the way. That's
What?
crazy.
I
Man,
didn't
that
even.
motherfucker. I fuck with dude though. Like, I ain't gonna lie, he be
I
putting out
ain't
some
listened
good
to
ass
that album.
music.
He'll be as far as he makes good music. He does good projects. All right, some more predictions. Best group, Chloe and Haley. Do you have to hear any more?
Yeah, that's easy. Chloe, you had me at Chloe and Haley.
I was gonna say, you should have just stopped me there. But the rest of it is City Girls, Earth Gang, Griselda, Jack Boys, which I did not know was a group,
Oh yeah,
and Migos.
I see you, Jack Boys.
Who
I
do you have
see
winning
you.
that?
I'm with the
Going
gang, 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 gang. And Jack
Chloe.
Boys is straight through. However, Griselda.
They're definitely last in that group.
What?
Easy. Chloe and Haley, City Girls, Irv Gang, Griselda, Jack Boys, and Migos. You telling me that the Jack Boys ain't the last persons in that group?
Absolutely. Now you got Travis Scott completely fucked up.
I mean, you just can't hang with nobody else in that group. Who's winning that? Who you have winning that?
Chloe
This
and
is
Haley will
gonna
win, but
wash.
I think Griselda should. That would be dope if they won, but that's
I'd
not gonna
love to see
happen.
Griselda, yeah. I'd love to see that. But Chloe and Haley gonna win that in a wash. Just
Real quick,
because.
there's a couple of slam dunks on here. Best collaboration, Chris Brown, Drake, No Guidance. That's the end of story.
Even though that's so long ago.
Yeah, it won't
You don't
matter.
think the higher DJ Khaled and Nipsey Hussle gets any love right there?
No.
Okay.
Nah.
Best male hip hop artist. Drake, Future, Lil Baby, Roddy Ricch, Travis Scott, DaBaby.
This is a
Think
tough
I'm
one.
just gonna give that to Drake, are they?
Nah, they shouldn't. And he could. He's like Jordan. He could win MVP every year. Let's be honest.
I give you that because I was thinking the same thing.
It would
Can't
probably go
get.
to Roddy. I think Roddy Ricch had a bigger. Yeah, Roddy Ricch and the baby. They had bigger years. If we being honest. Lil Baby, he's popping right now because he just dropped his album a couple weeks ago and he hot right now. But Roddy
So you
Ricch
said.
last year was nuts.
I think the baby's gonna win that.
Or
Cause
I mean that too. I can see that.
they gonna cheat because he gonna be there. He ain't got it. He definitely gonna be there.
Listen, if
Out of
nobody
everybody in that
else
group,
in
if
the
no
rap
one else is,
world is going to be there, DaBaby is Kirk is gonna be there.
he 1,000,000% gonna be there. All right, that's pretty much it. That's
Yeah,
all the
cuz
good
are you
cat.
watching this?
Absolutely not. I
Yeah.
don't watch it when people can be there. I definitely don't want to see the debacle that's gonna be a stream BET show. I hope it works well though. I ain't gonna lie. I hope it does go great.
Yeah.
But I'll catch the highlights. What about you? You tuning into this?
Yeah, I'll watch, man. I'll check it out. If I can watch the NBA horse challenge and I can watch the BET Awards.
Oh man, you need to
It's rough.
watch The Wire, fam. You can just watch The Wire now
Season
and
two's
you'd be
slow.
caught up. No, season two is actually it's the third best season.
Pfft.
Season three, season one, season two. That's it.
That's what's
In
up.
order. Wire fans, get at me. At me, bro. What we got next? Is it me?
That's
All
on you,
right.
player.
Your man's Clone Gucci. He's pissed. He's separating from Atlantic Records on July 3rd because he said the label, they're polite racists. Based off everything in the rap game that's happening in Gucci Mane's past success, do you think this is a good or a bad move for him to leave Atlantic Records?
I think it's a great move. There's nothing more for Atlantic Records to do with Gucci Mane. He's established. He's got 1,000 mixtapes. He's got 2,000 albums. His fan base is set in stone. they're not going anywhere, and he's not getting any new fans anytime soon. I would, however, love for him to elaborate more on his statements. He went on a rant on Twitter, like you said, calling Atlantic Records polite racist, as well as Gucci, the clothing brand, polite racist. And he asked artists to join him on strike from labels. I haven't seen anybody back him on this or seen him go into more detail. So, like, I'm not sure where that's going to go. But him being independent, that makes all the sense in the world. But I would love to know what happened, though.
Okay. Deets. All right. So the independent part is a no. That's a no-go for Gucci Mane at this stage in his career. Maybe earlier if he had more leverage or some point like that. I think the reason that we still see Gucci Mane albums when they drop is because he's on Atlantic Records. Without Atlantic, I think he goes to a place where E-40 is, Slim Thug. And not to say that these guys ain't doing their thing, but you just it's hard for them to get traction when they drop. Gucci, it ain't the same thing. Like, if Gucci Mane put out a hit, it's going to go because of the Atlantic Records behind him. And he's always capable of putting out that Lemonade type song. Just that's his style. And he's going to give you so he's going to throw so much shit at the wall. Then, I mean, some of it's going to catch. I don't think it's a good move for him to try to do that by himself, because I see him going back to the old Gucci with some of the stuff that I've seen lately. Like when he was on a basketball court, and I ain't saying that he wrong in any of this, because I don't really know the context when he called a lady a crack on the basketball court.
Yeah, that was funny.
I don't know the context. I heard him on Big Bank Black's podcast. They were talking about a couple of things. He was, I ain't gonna say he was wilding, but it wasn't clone Gucci at all. It was more similar to old Gucci. No. And now he's coming out with the closet races of Atlantic. Like, there's not a lot of people are scared that he's not as stable as he was when he first got out. And I'm not saying he's crazy or anything, but that sporadicness scares your partner. So I feel like staying at Atlantic would have been the best thing business-wise for him, because it's going to order him a lot of traction. Now, to address what you said as far as the deets.
Yeah, I need some deets.
From what I've seen, what he's talking about with Atlantic Records is the signing of the people like the Bad Barbies and some of the Bad Baby, whatever her name is. Some of the people or signings that we've questioned from Atlantic seem to be the root of what he's talking about. Them signing just people that are like, quote unquote, a minstrel show. They're not really talented. They're more so being signed because they're train wrecks. That's what he was alluding to, or that's where this quote-unquote originated from what I seen online, and then it just went from there as far as you guys are just putting these people out there to manipulate black culture. So that's where it started. I'm not sure where the thing came in with Gucci, probably because they don't cater to black people either. So maybe, you know, I don't know if he has a point or not, but I think that's where it started. What do you think about that? You know, a bit more of the deets.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how that relates to Gucci, but if
he's on Atlantic and he didn't like the way that they were portraying other artists.
But how does that make them racist though? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Because he says they're doing that to get money from black people.
That makes them capitalists.
Well, what is it called? Pandering. We're not pandering. What do people call it? Culture vulture.
I see what you're saying. Appropriation.
That's the word I'm looking for.
He's saying that they
culturally appropriate their music and artists and marketing geared towards a certain genre and not helping that genre.
Well, if you remember, she was on Dr. Phil pre-Atlantic Records doing the same thing that she's doing now. So I don't know if they built her.
I don't think Atlantic Records had to give her a deal.
They admittedly say
on this show some of the questionable signings that Atlantic Records does just based off the people not being talented.
I understand that.
So, I mean, Gucci Mane takes that personal.
Cardi B is on Atlantic, though. They took her from being a personality and molded her into an artist. They thought they could do the same thing with Bad Baby for 14-year-olds. If that's the reason why he snapped off, then it's like, bruh, okay, I guess, I don't know.
I mean, it's Gucci, man. He snapped off for less, right?
He snapped off actually in 07.
There was a lot less that he snapped off for.
Actually, no, excuse me. Let me take that back. He's been signed to Atlantic since 07, and he ran it on them in 2013 on Twitter. He shitted on the label execs and all of them, and then he apologized and said that the lean had him tripping. He then re-signed with them in 2016. So in his tweets and shit, he hashtagged Black Lives Matter, though. I was like, bro, what? Take a cue from Lil Baby, dude. Like, this is not how you get the attention to the movement, bro. Like, people gonna be searching Black Lives Matter hashtags for relevant information. They're gonna come across you being mad at Atlantic Records, bro. Like, come on, fam.
I mean, he letting them know that Black Lives Matter. There's some good artists on Atlantic too, though. I don't want to just sound like I'm shitting on Atlantic. They got some dope ass artists too.
I don't know. I guess, man. Hey, he'll be all right, though. His contract was up anyway. They probably, so, he may not want to release it. So
July 3rd, they said he's supposed to drop a project the next day once his contract is up. Are you going to, like, what do you think this puts Gucci Mane, though? Like, is he going to be on the same level? Are you still going to be seeing him as you did? Like, he used to have, like, notoriety when he dropped. What is
not in these last five drops he hasn't, no.
I mean, you ain't listened to any one of those five?
Bruh, I think the last one I listened to when we was in Miami, bruh.
Mm.
And that was fire. Let me be clear.
What was it, like 2 years ago?
Two and a half. Like, all them other ones, the El Glacier, El Ganto Glacier. Bruh, I'm not listening to that, bruh. Like, come on, man. East Atlanta Santa 8. I'm done.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He's going to find somebody new in Atlanta independently and leverage that to a new deal. He's always good to get somebody in the cut. He gonna have the next new thing down here. It's gonna be fucking with Gucci, man, and he's gonna leverage that to get another deal, maybe with Atlantic again or whoever it may be. But I think, in my opinion, that's what he's doing. He probably already got this person in pocket. He was talking about on Big Bank Black podcast, building up a new crew. Gucci Mane can find artists that catch fire, so I feel like that he got a spade in his pocket, and that's gonna be it.
I can see that. I can see that. I wouldn't doubt it. Before we get to the main topic at hand, where we will be kind of going over a first half of the year review, a little hip hop report card, so to speak. We've got Eminem, man. So look, there's a YouTuber. His name is.
Why you say your man's Eminem? Yo, man's Eminem.
Not necessarily. There's a YouTuber named No Life Shaq, and he made a video DMing 30 rappers asking who the greatest rapper of all time was. Mm. One of those DM'd artists was Eminem, who ended up responding on Twitter with the following answer. Again, the question was, who is the greatest rapper of all time? Eminem responded with, in no order, Wayne, Pac, Big, G-Rap, Redman, Jay, Royce, King Crooked, Tretch, LL, Nas, Joyner, Kendrick, Cole, Andre, Kane, and Rakim. Mm. So he gave him 40 artists to the answer to the question of who was the greatest rapper of all time was. He did not mention himself, by the way. What do you rate this list? 1 to 5 reels.
Man, that's not a bad list, man. But you got to knock a whole reel off for including Joyner Lucas on this list.
Put some respect on his name.
Come on, fam. Do you, like, read that and read it, and then read, like, Joyner Lucas's name in comparison with the rest of the people on that list.
Bars.
Let's be serious, man. Let's call a spade a spade. Other than that, I think it was very insightful for him not to put himself on there. I think that would have been kind of, people would have came at him for that. But Eminem, one thing that he's always been able to do, and that's read the room. This is a list that's very conscious of the room. He's a hip hop historian. I think that he pays much respect to the game, and you can tell by this list. If I'm going to rate the list 1 to 5 reels, I'm going to give it 4 reels. 1 off because he did put Joyner Lucas on the list.
And look, he left out a couple, you know what I'm saying? But look, he left out Ice Cube, Scarface, T.I. But I mean, again, he was only asked for 1, so, and he gave 20. So he went above and beyond, you know what I mean? So I can't knock him. You're going to leave somebody off. Like, I think if you had an honest conversation with him and said, hey, do you think Cube is a legend? Obviously, he would say yes. He would say Scarface is a legend, obviously. Like, so, you know, I don't knock him for that. I'll give him 4 reels as well. The list is fire. He had a good mix of OGs and 21st century artists, man. I can't be mad at that list. I'm not even going to lie to you. Even though Cool G Rap is before my time, Big Daddy Kane is a little before my time, Tretch, I just didn't listen to. Naughty by Nature didn't come across my wavelength like that. But a lot everybody of else I'm
Tretch.
On.
Everybody, give, a lot of people give Tretch a lot of credit.
I wouldn't know. My Naughty by Nature knowledge is low.
Crooked Eye, I guess you would say he's 21st century. I'm trying to figure out who you're talking about there.
Yeah, niggas in the 2000 and up. What are you talking about? Kendrick?
Well, Crooked Eye and Kendrick, that's all.
Cole,
okay. Royce.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't put T.I. on that list in front of anybody.
Yeah, you can.
Well, Roy, I mean, Joyner Lucas, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Crooked Eye, honestly, you know, that's my boy. You see, he didn't put Joe Budden on you.
He don't like Joe Budden, and that's funny. Do Crooked Eye rap better than T.I., though? We got better bars than T.I.?
If we're talking bars, possibly, but T.I., his career is barbecuing.
But Eminem ain't listen to T.I., though. I would attribute.
What? He's done songs with him. What are you talking about?
He don't
about?
Listen to his music. I don't mean listen to his music. And that ain't no slight to T.I. Like, if you're Eminem and if I'm walking the studio, I could see him listening to all 20 of these people. I'm surprised he don't got your boy on there from Missouri. What's his name?
Tech Nine?
Yeah, I'm surprised Tech Nine ain't on here. But yeah, like, this is a real Eminem list. So I couldn't see T.I. or Scarface. He probably think, like you said, Scarface is dope and there was a slip. He would take somebody off of Scarface, but I don't think that he putting T.I. or anybody up. I feel like he thinks T.I. is in his class. You don't see anybody else in his class.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying.
He ain't giving nobody else in his class no credit. That's one thing that I would take away from
it. Yeah, and I might take an extra reel away because there was no Drake on here. That's blasphemous.
It's surprising that he didn't put Drake on there because yes. Drake going to take that some way. He going to get in his feelings.
That's disrespectful.
Drake going to have at least 4 bars about this.
I can't wait. Hopefully
you
they come
on your list. You didn't think I was the greatest.
Hey, hopefully those bars get dropped in the second half of 2020, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But we want to kind of hit this middle of the year. We're in June. It took us 3 years to get here.
How you feeling about hip hop right now?
I'm feeling about hip hop the same way I'm feeling about everything else, man. It's just on pause right now.
Sure. Like, are you excited? Do you think new things are coming? Are you scared that things aren't going to get back the same?
If one more person says new normal, I think I'm going to pull my beard hair out. Things will be fine.
What are your back hair?
Or my chest hair. I'm pulling whatever hair that I have left on me out if I hear one more person say new fucking normal.
You out here looking like what are those things called? The people looking for Bigfoot? Like Bigfoot? Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, shit. But no, I think hip-hop is on pause right now, which you can look at it glass half full. That means the third and fourth quarters may be nuts. But we'll get to that, though. What do you think about some of these top-selling albums so far? Any surprises on the list? We have a top 10 list right here.
Okay, yeah, we got Russ at 10 doing the Shake Show. I'm surprised Moneybagg Yo was at 9. His number 9 was Time Served by Moneybagg Yo. Number 8, Youngboy Never Broke Again, still flexing, still stepping. Surprised by that at all. He got the new wave. A Boogie with the Hoodie, Artist 2.0. When I tell you I haven't listened to an A Boogie song, man, I know it's been a year and a half, so I wasn't even aware that this came out. So that's not surprising to me. Lil Wayne with Funeral, I'm surprised that it's made it this high. He still has a legacy act, still doing his thing. Jack Boys, Travis Scott at 5.
I see you, boy.
Number 4, Mac Miller with Circles.
Rest in
Bigger
peace.
Fan base than I remember. Yeah, rest in peace to Mac Miller. But every time I see him put a project out, I think it's 2 to 3 since he's died. It's been doing a lot of things online and does a lot well, so I wasn't surprised to see that at 4. 3, Lil Baby, My Turn. I'll call that. So
oh my God.
Wasn't surprised at that at all. Surprised Eminem at 2, Music to be Murdered by. I guess because of the name Eminem, that he still puts up these type of numbers where he went 279 his first week. I didn't expect it to be 2. I would maybe expect it to be 8, but I mean, it goes to show how much of the needle that he still actually moves. So shout out to him, man. And number one, Lil Uzi Vert, Eternal Awake. He did 288 first week. Not gonna lie, I knew he was a new generation's main point guard, leading the charge, quarterback. But I didn't think 288,000. And then he came again, I think, and dropped like 100 and some thousand the next week. So, man, shout out to Lil Uzi. That was a very surprising for me. Of those 10 that I named, what surprised you the most?
Yeah, man, the highest selling albums is crazy. I don't know how much we put into this nowadays, though, with streaming. And honestly, gun to my head, I can't tell you how this shit is calculated. Mm-hmm. But I think my biggest takeaway was Lil Baby not only having an impact in the streets, but the numbers and the sales room numbers are reflecting his growing brand as well. So that he's rounding himself into a nice presence in the rap game. You got the numbers, you got the street cred, you got the joints on the radio, you got the bangers that niggas riding by and the whips listening to. Like, he's covering all bases right now. So shout out to him. I also thought it was interesting they did not add Drake to this list. I guess his project was considered a mixtape.
You always interesting that Drake's name isn't somewhere.
Yeah, he did 226. Shout out to him.
Oh, my God.
Doing that on a mixtape.
No, it's a mixtape. They're old songs.
226.
It doesn't qualify. We understand it's Drake.
Dark Lane tapes, goddammit.
Get out of here.
And then also M and Wayne still moving the needle. That's still a thing. I don't know if that's going to go away anytime soon. Wayne sounded rejuvenated on that funeral. He just re-released it, by the way, too. With about six or seven extra joints. Mm-hmm. And that Eminem was cool. Again, he has some of the, we talked about this on an episode or two ago. His fan base is ridiculous. We got murdered in the YouTube comments for our Eminem review, and we didn't even go that hard on it. I don't even understand. Like, they murdered us for not sucking them off in the fucking review, dude. So I'm like, okay. So that doesn't surprise me at all. He might have just streaming farms of people just listening to it while they go to sleep and shit. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So it's just interesting, man. It's always interesting to see the numbers. Even though, again, I don't know how to calculate this shit. It's not like people going to the Best Buy no more, but it's still interesting to see who's doing what, man.
Mm, true. I agree with you. So, based off that top 10 list, taking it in another direction, this is a broad category, so you don't think you have to be nailed down and answer it. What's your most impressive performance of the first half of the year? It could be an album, somebody's flow, producer has caught your ear. What's impressed you the most about the first half of hip hop this year?
Man, even though this year has been relatively slow or slowed down from the expectations that we had going in, there's still some heat, and I was still impressed by a few things. I thought Royce the 5'9's Allegory album was complete and utter flames. I listened to him on the TI podcast. He talked about producing the entire album. That's nuts, considering he just learned how to make beats. I want to say like a year ago, he said. So that's fucking incredible.
They're good beats, but you also can tell that he just started making beats, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. No, you can, but it wasn't one of those situations where I listened to and I was like, man, because you know, you listen to Cole old shit, you were like, man, he needs somebody in there to make them beats for him, bro.
Yeah, Royce did his thing on the beast, though. You could tell he knew what he wanted to do.
Exactly.
To experiment a lot because he's just not learning, but you could tell he knew what he wanted to do.
And that it didn't take away from anything. It didn't distract me from the project, so I thought that was dope. I also was impressed by Gangsta Gibbs. His winning streak continues. That Alfredo is complete flames. Him and Alchemist. No, what?
This is the best album, easily.
Man, listen. He's gotten three or four rings in a row. Like, you want to talk about cooking with hot grease? He's in his bag. He's found his lane. This was not planned. Well, let me say this. This wasn't expected. We didn't go into the year knowing that Alchemist and Gibbs were working on some. We got like a 3 days heads up, and then it came out.
You did not call this.
What?
I told you. I said that an artist like Freddie Gibbs would capitalize off a year like this when nobody's doing nothing and it's quiet. I said that.
I don't recall.
And Dave East, but Dave East didn't come through.
He got something on the way, though. He got a mixtape on the way.
Too late.
That's funny as fuck. Then real quick, I got two sleepers, though.
Okay.
Sire the Kid, It Was Unwritten. That came out in the first month of the year, and this shit is still incredible to this day. Extremely underrated, under the radar. And then Pop Smoke's Meet the Woo 2. I listened to that to this day, too. It had a lot of heat on it. Bangers and the Whip. I was really feeling that drill, New York sound. Gone Too Soon. He's got a new project on the way as well. But that Meet the Woo 2 was banging, man. He showed a lot of promise on there. So this year has had some good moments despite, you know, the quarantine and the bad vibes going on in the world. It still has some good moments, man. What has kind of stood out to you?
I discovered Boldy James this year. That's really that Price of Tea in China with the aforementioned Alchemist.
Flames.
Fire.
Hey, niggas sleeping on Alchemist, bro. Real low key.
They killing it out here.
Because that Conway banging too.
That's a fact. And that goes into my next most important. Well, more to Boldy James. I listened to him on No Jumpers podcast. It was a really good interview. I think it was old though. But, you know, I'm new to this guy, so it was really a cool interview to listen to him. But that Price of Tea in China was very impressive. And like you said, Alchemist killing it.
Yeah.
Specifically from Griselda, as you mentioned, Conway. Conway ain't playing no games. I like that Lulu project. I think he's been doing his thing this year, and I think that it's going to be big for him. He's kind of solidified himself as the bar for bar as the nigga to be in the rap game.
Mm.
I, too, was impressed by that Allegory, Royce the 5'9". Actually, not even just that. What's more even impressive in that album is fire. Please don't take it away from what I'm about to say, that this album wasn't fire. I've been more impressed by his press run. That nigga has had great conversations with the Joe Budden's podcast, with the Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. You said T.I., all of them are insightful. He's talking about, you know, him being sober and how much you like. It's just really good information from that what we call a contemporary hip hop, like that age group of ours, just an adult.
Yeah,
it's good to hear an adult go on a press run and talk about a dope hip hop album. It's just refreshing for me to see. May not be for everybody, but I liked it.
And real quick though, Royce, like you said, he gives really good interviews because he seems like somebody who actually, I don't think he's a fan of having to be like a rapper. You know, sometimes the job part of being a rapper gets on people's nerves. Yep. But when he gets comfortable in an interview, like he gives really good information and really like insightful shit, thought-provoking shit. And that's cool to see.
And yeah, when like you said, once he gets comfortable, he like just lets you in. Like the whole Dre story that he tells in the interviews, man, that shit. I fucked with Royce this whole year. Lil Baby, that's my guy. I think he's living up to my expectations. And I thought sometimes we come over here and we predict people were wrong. My Blueface, most recent.
Oh, my God.
But it makes you feel good. Like I said, when I seen him the first time on the Breakfast Club and just how he carried himself, I felt like that he would be a voice of the new generation, and he's living up to that, and he's doing it well, man. So I've been very impressed by that. And that's what has impressed me for this first half, man. So, like, Conway spitting, Lil Baby's impact, Royce the 5'9", just how he's carrying himself, I think he's carrying the torch for, like, the new school of that age of hip-hop, or that age of older school hip-hop in his age group. So those have been some impressive things for me.
My rapper of 2020, though, even though I'm fucking with Conway heavy, is Benny the Butcher, though. That's my rapper so far.
Give me Conway, man.
He has obliterated everything he has been on, like completely demolished shit. He's on a killing spree right now, and I am dying for an original LP, 14 songs. Stop cheating me with these EPs and shit. I need the full Benny the Butcher project ASAPington, because he is on a roll right now. He's my rapper of 2020, bars-wise, just speaking.
I got it. Well, I prefer Conway at this moment, but I see where you're coming from. Benny do murder shit. Butcher coming nigga. With that being said, what are you waiting for in 2020? What are you waiting for the next half?
Hold on. Can I say something I was unimpressed with, though?
Let's hear it. Actually, one more impressed. I was impressed by Drake. For a nigga to be able to have this much traction, just using old songs and rapping on Song Cry. Like, it's very impressive. He continued his chokehold on the game, so that's impressive.
That tape is actually pretty good, though.
It is. I ain't mad at it at all. Yeah, but, you know, like, it ain't no new songs. To be able to drop that, do 250, and, like, nigga, I'm chilling. Just, this is a premiere of my house. I just want you to see my house on YouTube, the embassy, nigga, and I'm out. I think that's pretty impressive.
Technically, those were new songs. It was like three we had heard before, but it's all good.
All of those were old songs.
What did
impress you?
I was unimpressed with the J Electronica album that came and went. That was a moment that we've been waiting on for 100 years.
That was a fart in the wind.
And that shit, hey, listen, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And I'm not saying it's trash. I'm not saying it was whack. I'm just saying the moment itself, for it to be built up to be something so major and for us to be waiting so long, I don't know if having Jay-Z on every song was the cheat code that backfired, but the momentum just, it just ran out of steam dumb quick, man. I don't know if it's bad timing with the COVID and shit. I don't know, man, but that left me unimpressed, man. Maybe I'll run it back in a month and maybe it'll hit different. I don't know, but
I doubt it.
Damn. It's still a solid body of work. It's just, the impact was just non-existent.
Do you think Jay-Z could miss on a solo album like that in 2020?
Absolutely not. Hell no. Bro. I was listening to 444. Shout out DP. I was listening to 444 earlier today, man. That Marcy Me almost brought me down to tears, nigga. That shit still hit.
Is banging. You're right about that.
But like you said, what are we looking for this second half of the year? I am waiting for the A-listers to come out and play. Once these arenas get the green light to open up and people start feeling more comfortable getting out the crib, that's when the bombs will drop. We'll get a real Drake project, maybe a Kendrick, maybe a Cole, Big Sean, maybe a Kanye. We'll have some A-listers come out and play and balance out. Look at all the people we named that we were impressed with. We didn't name no big-time A-listers. I mean, with the exception of, like, Lil Baby, he's growing. But we're talking Freddie Gibbs and Royce da 5'9" and Sayari. And, like, these are, to a certain extent, like, these are B-side artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not all on the radio like that. Like, so the big dogs will come out to play in this third and fourth quarter. Again, depending on how COVID and how people react to that type of shit. People are out right now, man. So
people are out right now?
People are out. Hell yeah. People are out, bro. Shit is opening up. Fucking Best Buy is opening back up, nigga. Like, shit is opening
nobody
up.
Nobody in stadiums, though.
He said that's rough.
Opening back up.
Arenas is rough.
I don't think no stadium or clubs. Are people going to clubs?
Clubs are open right now. Yeah, hell yeah.
Jesus. You got to be a sicko to go to a club right now.
Motherfuckers is in the club, bro.
That's
like
sick.
50.
Like,
what are you looking forward to?
Man, I am looking forward to, you hit the nail on the head with what you just said as far as the A-list people. I'm expecting something from Drake. I want to see that. I want to see Big Sean come out and kill him. I want to see J. Cole hit him with the fall off. That's what I'm really expecting to turn this year around and kind of give us something to look forward to going into 21 and kind of turn 2020 around and make it better than it has been. A-list rappers doing A-list music, having fun. Not sure if not having the stadiums there is going to affect them because they want to go on tour, but I do expect a Kendrick Lamar. I do expect a second round from Pusha T. Like, I want these people to come out and play, as you said, and kind of put a spin on the game, get back to the new way of doing stuff and how they're going to drop their albums and whatever they have to figure out if they're not going to have tours. I can't wait to see that. So my biggest thing would be the A-listers coming out to play. My biggest thing would be the bars that we're here to see, some of the big projects, how they handle doing the concerts and how they handle even working with some of the people who've able to get traction now. Freddie Gibbs, I feel like, has made a bigger name for himself. I want to see him work with more people. See, can I get Freddie Gibbs on something with the A-list people that are going to be coming out because they respect his flow now? But I definitely can't wait to see Kendrick Lamar, how he reacts. That's my number one.
I have a bold prediction, which we're getting to right now, for the second half of 2020.
Okay.
And it goes right along with your number one wish list. We're not getting no Kendrick, bro, in 2020. Did you know that? And he was on deck for it. He was supposed to headline Coachella. You know what that means. That means a new project was going to come out right before that so he could have new material to do.
Coachella's canceled?
Yes. I think that Coachella will be back on for next year, and I think he'll wait and just do what he was going to do in 2020 and 2021. That's my bold prediction.
Why do you think that? What makes you think that?
Like, because you think he's too big of an artist. He makes music that he has to go and tour off of. It's too much writing on that.
Okay. So it's you think that him putting an album out now, it can't be, well, not can't be successful, but he wouldn't get the return he would be able to get because he's not going to be able to tour. And you don't think that TDE would want to do that?
No, I think they're too calculated for that. I think they're into the big events. And they had a huge year lined up, him headlining Coachella with a new album. Like, he was about to run the year with that. And that COVID put a stop to all of that. I think they're like, fuck it, we've been sitting out this long, people are thinking about other things right now anyway, let's hit the reset button and do it again next year. I in my opinion, I think that's what they're gonna do. Now, I would prefer a Kendrick album tomorrow. I think it would more likely be in line with what's going on right now, and it may be perfect for the time that we're in, but I don't think that's gonna happen. I think they're gonna wait till next year.
I disagree with you. I think this is the Cold War, and Kendrick is going to be waiting on Drake, and Drake is going to be waiting on Cole, and Cole going to be waiting on Drake, and Kendrick going to be waiting on Cole. And whoever moves first, I think is going to open the floodgates. Somebody will have to have the nuts to move first, though. But similar to the NBA, NFL, and the leagues getting back started, they're kind of trying to test it out, who's going to be the first to do it. Think as soon as we see a big name artist do it, and then I'm talking about within weeks, next one. So I feel like somebody's gonna break that ice. The person playing with the most house money, I feel like, would be Cole. He usually does the no features thing. He usually he can rap in time capsules pretty good. This seems like a great moment to catch. So I feel like he could put together something similar to a 2014 Forest Hills Drive, something similar to a For Your Eyes Only that pertains to everything going on now. That hit big. Then you see, based off his marketing campaign, based off his rollout, a Kendrick come because they know it's possible. Then you see a Drake come because they know it's possible. Those artists, like you said, that are pending on those big tours and those big events kind of probably play off Cole and what he's able to do to generate money, because I think that he's in the forefront. HBO documentaries, all of the different things that he usually does when he drops, he can take the most advantage of this. Then him taking advantage of this is going to cause the shockwave, well, not shockwaves, but cause the reaction of other people to come out. So I would disagree and say that it's going to start the Cold War right now. You got Cole in the war room planning, plotting, strategizing. He hits first, then Kendrick, then Drake.
And I will about say this too, though.
I would say Drake about Christmas.
Here's the thing too. Kendrick's album was supposedly done and ready to go. After all that's happened, there's no way that he is going to put that project out without mention or without some type of tone reflecting of the times.
That's rough right there.
It's impossible. He has to go back and redo some of it so that it's more on point with, because we don't know what direction he was going to go in.
So let me ask you this. Let's say you are Top Dog or you are Punch and you over at TDE. You control the flow. What if Kendrick is like, because we know how long he takes to work on albums, he ain't going in there doing shit in 2 weeks. That nigga was like, man, I spent the last year and a half, 2 years working on this, and we got to scrap it? You think that Kendrick would be cool with that?
It maybe not scrap the entire project, but you need to tweak it. You need to tweak it, bro. Like, you'd have to. If Kendrick came out with an album tomorrow that had made no mention of any of the tone that's going on right now, it wouldn't even hit right, bro.
People would be disappointed.
We'd be like, damn, K-Dot? Like, you see how Run the Jewels shit, how that fit, that they knew to drop it right now? They've been talking about that shit for 2 years.
Yeah, they pushed their release date up.
So the same way they knew that that fit this tone, TDE is too smart. They understand tone. They understand the climate. They are going to make adjustments to that album because it was already ready to go. They said it had more rock influence. All that scrapped. I'm telling you, scrapped. Scrappy dude. That's in the recycling bin, my nigga. They got 15 fresh new joints, bro.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that happens. Maybe we get that as a mixtape or something like that. Maybe he drops what he has to redo first and then they give him a mixtape. But I could see that. But that man, that's a lot of work, it seems like, for him to be scrapped out. But my prediction. Go ahead.
No. What's your prediction?
That was my prediction, that we have the first of the big dogs to strike being J. Cole, and then you get the floodgates opening from there. But I do think that we will see those guys. I think that they're going to want to step up and give people something, I won't say to be happy about, but just give people something to consume during what everything is going on. And I think it'll start with Cole, and then you'll get that big dog effect. Then it hit Kendrick and then Drake around Christmas.
Y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Go to Facebook in the Rap Chat group. Let us know, who do you think will strike first? Will the big three drop in 2020? Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. Let us know what y'all think, man. We got some winners and some losers, man. What we got?
We definitely have some winners and losers for episode 353 of the On Deck TV podcast. First off, we're going to put a W out there to Method Man. He has a brand new cannabis strain, man. It's supposed to be the luxury brand of cannabis. Shout out to Method Man. It's a W out there. A lot of rappers exploring this space. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's a smart play. You want to get in that arena right now because that's only going to grow. Do we know the name of the strain? Did he got a cool name for it?
Do we have a cool name? I think it's called...
M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
Well, actually, he launched a firm, and it supports black entrepreneurs who are in the cannabis world.
The fuck?
So,
that's different from a strain, man.
It is. It is different from a strain. So, shout out to him for having the whole firm. He's boosting other black-owned cannabis companies. So, if you're black-owned and you're in the cannabis world, holler at Method Man. He's going to be the plug. He's kind of like a venture capitalist in that area.
Even better than having a strain, player.
And he's working with Empire Cannabis Strain, Litco, Burner, who we know, and Blunts Plus More. Those are the four brands that he's working with right now.
Shout out to Method Man. What else we got?
Next on the wins and losses, we got a big L to your mans, Mr. Twitter Fingers himself, Meek Mill, trying to cape for B. Simone, and he gets Twitter roasted again.
Yeah. I don't know. So B. Simone got a target on her back right now. I don't know too much about her. I just know what the couple of skits that she do with Desi.
You got the book.
I don't have that book. I did see the book. The book was nuts.
Wrote it.
People were wearing her out for the book.
You wrote the book.
Absolutely not. But she's not on my radar like that. I'm gonna be all the way honest. And I didn't know she was on Meek Mill radar either, but he was trying to cape. Big boy L.
Yeah, that's why it's an L, to cut you off. That's exactly why it's an L, man. Meek Mill is bigger than this. I know disrespect to B. Simone, but, man, she got her own. She got to carry her own problems, man. Why Meek Mill trying to swoop down and save her? I have no idea. Why do you care who we are canceling and all of these things? Like, big Meek Mill should be speaking to a lot bigger things right about now. So, that's an L.
Yeah, man. What else we got?
Continuing on, a W to the Brat. Did you know the Brat came out and she's now able to live her truth?
Man, shout out to the Brat, man, for knowing what we've been knowing for 25 years.
Listen, they said the Brat came out. I was like, what was this, a 95 headline, fam? Who did not know the Brat was gay?
Yeah, come on, Brat. You've been living your truth for a very long time. We've known it. You've known it. It's all good. Nobody cares. Shout out to the Brat. Underrated rapper, though.
I think if she had a whole thing and she like... got everybody together, and she's like, I just want to let y'all know I'm gay. Who's like, what?
Oh, shit. No shit.
All right, and a big W, man, Ice Cube, man, this past week he celebrated a birthday, and he also celebrated not giving a fuck on Twitter. He called everybody out. If you ain't checked Ice Cube's Twitter feed, please go see that.
Ice Cube has been going ham.
Shaking life.
These last 3, 4, 5 days, his feed been going nuts.
I apologize to him for coming on here and saying he should have went on Coming to America. I mean, coming Good Morning America. Because if it's what he had loaded up, please, I'm glad that he didn't make it to Good Morning America. Because they would have shot him when he got outside, man. they would have took my boy out, man. So I appreciate him putting it in these tweet streets, though, man. Let us get the truth out there, Q. We appreciate you, brother. Happy birthday to you, belated.
Absolutely, man. Hey, on Decker of the Week, since it's the anniversary of the 300th show last year in Atlanta, man, I wanted to give a special shout out to everybody who showed love on our Instagram today, On Deck TV Podcast, and also a throwback nod to those who were able to attend. Man, we had a great time. It was a very nice celebration. I'm still mad I wasn't eating chicken back then, so I didn't get to partake in none of the wings that y'all bought. See,
it's fine too. I got about 3 though.
Yeah, we were on duty, so we really couldn't go in like we wanted to, but it was a great time. Good to look through those pictures, and shout out to everybody that pulled up, man, for real.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a great time. We enjoyed it. We're going to try to do a lot more of that stuff. We're planned on it for this year, but COVID threw us a curveball. We're going to keep on creating and put that content out there for you, though. We appreciate you guys checking in for all 300 and however many episodes that we're on now, 353. We're going to do this a long time, and hope you guys continue to support.
Absolutely, man. You got something to put me on.
Do I have something to put you on? Yes. I sent you guys, you already know about this because I put it in the group chat, but it's another podcast, and this podcast is from my guy, Larry Wilmore. He interviewed the lady that did the Netflix documentary 13, talking about the 13th Amendment, and I thought that was absolutely amazing. Reason being, she talked more about the history of the slave. Oh, excuse me, she did 1619. She did the 1619 podcast, and she talked more about the slave trade and the history of it. A lot of stuff that I didn't know, and made me do some additional research. It's really good, and it helped me out this week as far as figuring some stuff out that I had wondered about for a long time as far as slavery. So you guys go check out Larry Wilmore's latest podcast. I think it's called Black on the Air.
Yeah. No, that was a solid podcast for sure. I'm going to put you on that Dave Chappelle.
Go ahead. Dave Chappelle, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just
going to tell her, but her name was Nicole Hannah Jones.
Okay, shout out to Nicole Hannah Jones. That was a dope episode. Shout out to Dave Chappelle, man. That 8 minutes and 46 seconds special is complete flames. I thought that was very appropriate, obviously, for the time that we're going through. And he mentioned this in the stand-up, he's probably the first comedy act to hold something during these times right here. So I thought that was a very smart play. I thought the way that he shot it and did it was very smart.
Did you like it?
I did. I thought his storytelling is second to none. He is able to weave his stories together when you don't quite know where they're going. He's a master at that. I thought it was great. I watched it twice. I loved how he responded to Don Lemon. It was dope, man. It was less on the jokes. This was more just on some real talk from his perspective, and I thought it was effective, man. This shit was dope. If you haven't seen that, check it out. It's everywhere: YouTube, IG, Netflix, the whole nine.
Yep, it was really good. I enjoyed that myself. I like the way that he was able to address the issues in, like I could say, in his comfortable space. He was able to be vulnerable, and I think people really appreciated that. He like let people know how he feel. He wasn't just trying to be funny. He just was talking to people. I feel like that was dope, how raw it was. Really good special. Needs to be checked out.
Absolutely, man.
Also, too, man, if you want a good interview, Ahmad Rashad is on Bomani Jones' podcast. Really good.
He got good Jordan stores.
Tough.
Yeah.
So you check that out.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, y'all keep in touch, man. Look, On Deck TV Podcast on IG, iTunes, leave a comment in these quarantine times. Let us know how you feel about what's popping. Realville.com. excuse me, realvillemedia.com, youtube.com/realville. We're looking to have some more content coming soon. Keep your eyes on these IGs as well. And we appreciate everybody hanging in with us, though.
Yes, sir. We are out.
Hollow.